Well, we're looking at Romans chapter 12 this evening because as Jonathan was sharing on Sunday, he shared a little bit about Romans chapter 12 as he was teaching about we are the church. This was kind of a side point for him. And as he was hitting those side points and kind of hitting some of the verses and ideas and concepts here in Romans chapter 12, it really just began to stir some things in my mind. And later on in the day, as I was doing some things, I just began to continue to meditate on those things. And so this is a little bit of a part two or an addendum to what Pastor Jonathan shared on Sunday. And so if you weren't part of that, you can go back on the website and listen to that message and understand that we are the church. But tonight, as we look at Romans chapter 12, I've titled the message, Christian Gatherings Are Team Events. Christian gatherings are team events. This is one of those famous spiritual gift passages. And these are things that I've shared many times over the years. We have the Equipped to Serve course that we've done from time to time that goes into detail in the spiritual gifts and breaking down all of the different passages. But if you need a little bit of a refresher, well, we're going to do that a little bit this evening, but also look at a different aspect of this than I think that I've really spent some time in before. The three main passages regarding spiritual gifts are Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. And so when you want to dig into the subject, when you want to consider the subject, these are the passages that we turn to. There's a couple other passages, a couple other verses here and there, but these are the ones that contain the majority of the doctrine that we have in regards to the gifts that God gives to us as members of His body. And so these are the three passages. We're going to be focusing on Romans chapter 12 tonight, but the others are there if you want to spend some time later on and consider a little bit further the things that the Lord wants to minister to our hearts tonight. What usually happens with a study of spiritual gifts is these three passages are kind of mushed together. And the gifts that are listed in one are added to the gifts that are listed in another, which are added to the gifts that are listed in the other. And then, you know, you can sum them all up. Usually the total is 21 gifts or 19 gifts, depending on who's doing the study. And they're kind of looked at as kind of like one big bucket of spiritual gifts. But if you've heard me share on these things, you understand. I see this a little bit differently, that these are not three passages dealing with all exactly the same thing, but really dealing with different aspects of spiritual gifts and some concepts that we need to understand to really help us fulfill the body of Christ and what God intends for us as the body of Christ. And so here's how I kind of describe these passages a little bit further. The Romans chapter 12 passage is essentially the Father giving us, the members of the body, roles to fulfill within the body of Christ. You can say it this way, or I often say it this way. The Father gives you membership in the body of Christ with a function to fulfill. The Father gives you membership in the body of Christ. The Father makes you a member of the church. And as you believe in Jesus, the Father gives you this role. He gives you this function to fulfill as a member of the body of Christ. Then as you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we have what Paul refers to as the manifestations of the Spirit. That is, the Holy Spirit revealing Himself or showing Himself, and then those manifestations are listed there. And so we see those as the Holy Spirit manifesting Himself through you. It's a little bit different than a role within the body of Christ. These are what we typically mean when we refer to spiritual gifts, but Paul literally says the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the evidence that the Holy Spirit is working through you. And then as we look at Ephesians chapter 4, I would describe that as leaders in the church that are given by Jesus. And so these are not individual gifts given to an individual. These are individuals given to the church as a whole. It's people in positions of authority that Jesus has established. And so Jesus gives you spiritual leaders, people to be an influence and have authority in your life. Now, as you look at these three descriptions, as I'm giving them, you might recognize that There's the Romans 12, the 1 Corinthians 12, the Ephesians 4. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in each of these passages. And I do believe that that is intentional, that that is part of the work and the things that we need to understand here, that it is the aspect of the triune nature of God that influences each of these passages and really ministers to us and teaches us something a little bit different. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, to kind of go along with this, verses 4, 5, and 6, I'm not going to go through it in depth, but you can check it out later. There is a reference to the idea of gifts and roles within the body of Christ, and also a reference to the different members of the triune nature of God. Paul says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And so there is a correlation between the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and what each member of the triune nature gives to you as a member of the body of Christ. The Father gives you a role, a function to fulfill. The Spirit manifests Himself through you as you fulfill that role. And Jesus gives you leaders and authorities in your life to guide you and help you in your walk and in your relationship with the Lord. And so in looking at all of this, I like to relate to these things as positions on a team, or relate it to being on a team. And so you can see here these different passages. Romans chapter 12 really is equivalent to the idea of having different positions on a team. And so if you think about a team sport, I'm thinking about baseball tonight, and it's the sport that I know the most about, and so that's an easy one for me to choose. And so I'm wearing my Dodgers jersey, remembering Chico and praying for the Padilla family, but thinking about this idea of a baseball team and the different positions on the team. The Father has given you a position on His team, and so you can begin to think about that and let that process in your mind, the different opportunities that might present to you. The Holy Spirit gives you equipment. It's the equipment for the players. Those gifts that are listed there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are the pieces of equipment, the things that are needed to help you fulfill your role. And so you understand a catcher has different equipment than a pitcher, right? And so there's different equipment that's needed, different skills perhaps, different essentials that are needed for each position on the team. And so the Holy Spirit is what equips us with the equipment that we need to fulfill our position, to play the role that God has given to us. And then Jesus gives us coaches. Just as coaches are necessary for a team to help train the team, to organize and unite and keep the team working together, Jesus gives you spiritual coaches to help train you to keep the team working together and united. And that is one of the essential parts of what Paul is addressing there in Ephesians chapter 4. And so Christian gatherings are team events is kind of the idea and subject for us to consider tonight. Understanding the different types of gifts and different things that are involved in spiritual gifts. And now thinking about it in terms of gathering together. Again, focusing on Romans chapter 12, the roles within the body of Christ or the positions on the team, there's 4 points I'd like to walk you through, 4 points to help us kind of navigate this idea, this concept of spiritual gifts and our roles within the body of Christ in perhaps a different way, a fresh way for us to be ministered to and to seek the Lord on what it is that He would have us to be involved in. And so the first thing I'd like to walk us through and consider together is to understand the positions on the team. Looking at these as the roles within the body of Christ or the positions on God's team, we need to understand a little bit about what these roles are then so that we can begin to talk about them and understand them to a greater degree. Let's look again at verses 3 through 5. It says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, to not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Here, as Paul is addressing this subject, he's using the illustration of a body to help us understand how God has brought us together and expects us to operate. One body, he says, many members. And one of the key aspects of this is that every believer is a member. Notice again in verse 3, he says, I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you. Every believer is who he's addressing here. He's not just addressing certain Christians or certain people. He's saying every believer, everyone who is among you, everyone who participates in the church gathering, I'm addressing this to you. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but be sober, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. God has given you a measure of faith and a place within the body, as we have many members. All the members don't have the same function, so there's different functions, different roles, different positions on the team. And so we are one body and individually members of one another. Again, it's every individual, every believer. We have a spot on the team. One body and many members. It's one team and many positions. Many different parts to play, many different functions to fulfill. And not everybody has the same function. This idea of a function, it's an action word, right? Not everybody has the same action to do. Not everybody has the same office to fulfill or the same work to be done. All members do not do the same things. But all members have something to do. And again, something to consider, something to think about. All members do not do the same things, but all members do have something to do. We're one body, Paul says, but individually members of one another. United together, tied together, just like members of a team are united together and are part of the same work. We're members of one another because we're on the same team. And so, again, thinking about this in terms of baseball, you can think about the positions on a baseball field. There's 9 positions, if I have my math right, and if I am inaccurate in all of my sports ball talk, you can talk to Richard afterwards because he's my sports consultant. But first base, second base, third base, pitcher, catcher, shortstop, left field, center field, right field. These are positions on the baseball field, right? So 9 positions. Each one has a particular spot on the field. Each one has different responsibilities and are there for different reasons. And yet at the same time, collectively, they all have the same goal. Now, if you ask any baseball player what position they play, they could tell you easily, right? They could tell you, I'm a shortstop, I'm a pitcher, I'm a catcher, right? If someone is playing, now I'm thinking professionally, right? If you're just hanging out with friends and you go to play, well, it might be a negotiation, right? Well, hey, this time I'm going to pitch and this time you catch, and it might change a lot. But for those who are, you know, involved in the sport in a serious way, they have a part to play. They have a role that they've learned, that they've trained in and practiced and become good at, and this is the positions on the field. In a similar way, we have roles in the body, positions on the field within the body of Christ that are listed here in Romans chapter 12. Verses 6 through 8 again says this, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Here Paul lists 7 things. These are the different functions, Paul says. If you have a function, he says you ought to be filling that function. And he doesn't go into great detail here. He just lists them. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and mercy. And so for us to understand these different positions, I want to just walk through some definitions. These are definitions that I put together as we went through the Equipped to Serve course. And so if you've been through that, it's a little bit of a refresher. But definitions to help us understand each of these different roles and functions so that then we can begin to build on that and consider perhaps what the Lord wants to minister to our hearts about. And so let's first consider prophecy. You can think about prophecy this way. Prophecy is delivering the right word at the right time to the right person. It's delivering the right word at the right time to the right person. We've talked about this many times. Prophecy we often tie to foretelling the future. But really it means to speak on behalf of God. And so it's the idea of giving forth a word from the Lord. And so as I'm teaching on Sundays and Wednesdays, as someone is up here sharing the word, we do believe, and there should be, words of prophecy that are going forth. It's not just a teaching through the scripture, a teaching of doctrine, but also interspersed in the teaching is individual words. And I'm sure that you've experienced that, where God has spoken to you prophetically as you have sat through Bible studies, as you've been involved in services and sitting under the teaching of the Word of God. And so it's that right word at the right time to the right person. All right? The next gift to consider, or the next role to consider, is ministry. Ministry is serving with compassionate love to meet needs. We have some kind of built-in ideas when the word ministry is used that often refers to the official occupational, you know, role of a pastor or something like that. But ministry simply means to serve. And so it's the idea of serving with compassionate love to meet practical needs, to take care of things that need to be taken care of. It's a very practical idea, practical role within the body of Christ. Well, then you have the role of teaching. Teaching is the instructing in doctrine, in truth, and in practice. It's the educational aspect. It's the laying out of what God has declared, what God says in His Word. And that is an important and valuable role within the body of Christ. Then you have the gift of exhortation, or the role of exhortation. You can understand this as it's coming alongside people to comfort and encourage them to obey and trust God. Exhortation is a side-by-side type of role where you come alongside and really help people, encourage people, energize people to step forward, to go forward, and to press on in the things that God has called them to, that they would obey and trust God. It's a very helpful role to help us to engage further steps of faith and continue on in the path that God has set before us. Well, we also have the role of giving. Giving is when God gives you resources to meet physical, practical, or financial needs, that He gives you the opportunity to be generous, and He provides for you the resources to do that. So He enables you and equips you with finances, with physical goods, with whatever might be necessary for you to be generous and to give to these needs that exist within the body of Christ. And so giving is one of those roles that God has established here within His church. It's one of the positions on the team. Well, then we also have leading. And the idea here is really of administration. It's overseeing, it's organizing, leading ministries, events, activities, putting things together, helping to, you know, set things in order and set things in place that the team can continue to function and move forward. And then finally, the role of mercy. And so this position on the team is fulfilled by showing compassion to the broken, to the weary, to the discouraged, or to those who are experiencing the consequences of sin. It's really similar to exhortation, whereas exhortation is a, you know, kind of like a cheerleader role, like come alongside, come on, you can do it, let's go, let's go, let's go. Mercy is a role of, hey, I'm sorry this is going on in your life. I know it's really hard, but God's with you. And it's that role of coming alongside to bring comfort, to kind of bring an ointment, you know, to those open wounds, to bring some relief to those who are struggling and suffering and hurting. And so this idea of mercy is an important role within the church, within the body of Christ. And so understanding these positions on the team is kind of where we're starting, just getting our feet wet a little bit, understanding these different pieces. I know you don't have all those memorized just by going through them once. I did print out the worksheet from the workbook, the Equipped to Serve book, and that's on the back table with those definitions. And so if you want to grab that later, and you're like, oh, thanks, Jerry. Well, now you tell me after I wrote down all those things. Sorry, I meant to mention it before. But it's there if you want to grab it. You're able to review those things. But again, going to verse 6, Paul says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So these are the gifts. These are the roles that God has given us. And the point that Paul is seeking to make is not so much look at all these definitions, but really put these into practice. And these are the roles that are necessary. These are the functions that need to be fulfilled within a gathering together of believers. And so these roles, as we look at them, we need to understand they're essential. I would go even so far as to say this. If these roles are not being fulfilled, then what we're doing when we gather cannot really be called church. It's not the body of Christ gathering together if these roles are not being fulfilled. If we're not engaging in these things. I was thinking about what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He tells them, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry and another is drunk. Paul says, what you're doing, you're calling the Lord's Supper. And everybody's under the idea and under the impression that it's the Lord's Supper. But Paul says, I need to tell you, it's not the Lord's Supper. What you're doing and the way that you're doing it, you're not remembering the Lord. You're not partaking of the Lord's Supper in that way. In a similar way, I think it's appropriate for us to consider these roles in the body of Christ are important. They're essential. And if they're not being fulfilled, then we need to understand that it's not the assembling of the brethren together. It's not the gathering of the body of Christ. It's something else. And you know, we can become a club or, you know, just a friends hanging out, participating in a hobby together, you know, that kind of thing. And what we need is more than that. We need to be gathering together in a way where the body of Christ is really in effect, where these roles are active and these roles and functions on the team are being fulfilled. And to continue considering that, I want to move on to the second point tonight, and that is that team positions scale to all gathering sizes. And this is really what began to fester is not the right word, but I'm going to say it anyways. It began to fester in my mind Sunday afternoon, that the idea of scale, the idea of these positions, these roles being essential, really means that they have to scale. Otherwise, you know, only mega churches that could fulfill all these roles could, you know, really be the body of Christ. But no, these positions scale to all gathering sizes. When there's a gathering of believers, two or three gathered in the name of Christ, there is a fulfillment of these roles that is possible if we will allow the Lord to direct us and guide us. Looking again at verses 4 through 6, real quick, Richard, can you turn off the copier in the office, causing the lights to flicker? Thank you for filling your role on the team, Richard. All right, verses 4 through 6, it says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. As Paul introduces this idea, these roles, again, he makes it clear this is for all believers. We have many members, but it's one body, different functions within the body of Christ. We're members of one another, and the exhortation is, whatever that role is that you've been given, let us use them. And this teaching about these roles that Paul is giving was true for the Romans. As he's writing to the Romans, right? This was true for the Romans, the church in Rome. But it was also true for the church in Corinth. And it was true for the church in, or the churches in Galatia. And it's true in Corona. And so we're talking about different scales because all of these churches are different sizes and have different capacities and work and operate slightly differently. And so these things are not just limited to, you know, the ideal situation with a fully equipped and fully staffed congregation, but this is any time there is a genuine gathering of the body of Christ, these roles are active or have the potential to be active and fulfilled in that gathering together, in that meeting of those believers. And I think this is interesting to consider and still applies to the team sport idea and thinking about baseball. Now, on the grand scheme of things, you can think about Major League Baseball, right? Professional baseball. And at that scale, baseball is like a huge business empire. It's a machine, right? You have 8 to 10 coaches on the team. You have all of these different like roles that are just within the coaching staff, that are just in the administration, and then the managers, and then the advertising and sales and marketing, and like all the back end, the behind the scenes, and then you have all the team that's on the field, and those are playing, but you have the backups for those teams, and then there's not just 9 people on the field when it comes to professional baseball, right? But when you look at those 9 positions on the field, there's a consistency as you scale that down to, you can go all the way down to just like kids in a neighborhood playing baseball together. Like all the fundamentals are there. And the positions are there, but they might change and modify depending on the type of baseball that's being played. And so you can think about professional baseball and the scale at the like greatest degree. You can scale that down a little bit to maybe think about school baseball, university or community college or high school. And there's, again, varying degrees, different levels of how many coaches there are, how many, second string. I don't know if they use second string in baseball, but the backups of the different roles and positions. There's a lot of diversity, but at the same time, there's a lot of consistency. You go down to Little League baseball, and again, it all scales. It's the same fundamentals, but also the same positions on the field. And you still probably have coaches, but it's scaled down quite a bit, right? And so there's a different approach as Little League Baseball is going on. And then again, thinking about the neighborhood. And I think the neighborhood picture, so if you want to go home and watch Sandlot later and think about these things, there's some spiritual implications there. Kids in the neighborhood playing baseball, right? Like kids in the neighborhood can play baseball even if it's just 2 of them playing catch. You're playing baseball. Right? I mean, yes, you're not filling all the positions literally, but in a sense, you're filling the role, right? You're practicing the fundamentals. You're playing baseball. If you got 3 kids, maybe you start to play pickle, right? And so now you're practicing the stealing the bases or going from base to base or tagging people out, and there's the throwing, there's the catching, there's the running. There's these different pieces, and it's all translatable to all the way, scale it all the way up to Major League Baseball, professional baseball. I used to play, I think I played it anyways, or I knew about it, or someone told me about it, I forget. But anyways, there was a game called 3 Flies Up, right? And so basically this way, you would throw the ball to yourself. So you're fulfilling the role of the pitcher and the batter at the same time, right? So you throw the ball to yourself, boom, you hit it. And then you got friends out there to catch the ball. And when someone catches the ball 3 times, then it's their turn, and they come, and then now they take the role of pitcher and the role of batter, and they throw the ball to themselves, and boom. And so you have the outfielders, and you're filling all these different roles, but it looks a little bit differently depending on the scale of the game that is happening. I think that paints some really important pictures for us to consider when we think about the team of, God's church, the body of Christ. That as we gather together, it's a team event. And in a similar way, these different roles and positions and these fundamentals are all at work, no matter the scale that we're dealing with in a gathering together of believers. And so thinking about the roles within the body of Christ, prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and mercy. These are the roles that, again, are essential, that are an important part of the gathering together of God's people. And if we are not active in these roles, then we're not the gathering of the body of Christ, we're something else. And that's true when it's two or three of us gathering, or when it's our biggest gathering that we experience as a church. Whatever the scale might be, there needs to be the role of prophecy. There needs to be the speaking forth of God. There needs to be those who give the right word at the right time to the right person. And I would apply this across every concept and every idea of gathering of believers that you can possibly imagine and think of. So tomorrow night, as the ladies gather together, I think there's 14 ladies signed up, there needs to be this role of prophecy. And ladies, you ought to be seeking the Lord for the role of prophecy and looking to be used by the Lord to bring forth. Because ladies, as you gather tomorrow, there are those who are going to be there who need to hear from the Lord. And the right word at the right time to the right person is a need that is there. And when there is children's ministry that is happening, well, there needs to be the role of prophecy involved in that. That it's not just here, watch a video, be distracted while parents are, you know, in church, but that God's word is going forth, that you're able to bring forth a word from God at a level that four-year-olds can understand, that they can know that, that God was ministering to them and speaking to them. When it's two or three of us sometimes on a Wednesday night, there needs to be the role of prophecy. And sometimes, as I mentioned, that's fulfilled as I'm teaching or whoever's teaching, that there are words of prophecy that are going forth. But I would suggest to you that it's not just that. That's not the only way that that role is fulfilled. In fact, it's the least way that that role should be fulfilled. Like the majority of the time that that should be fulfilled would really be in our own interactions individually as we're gathering together as believers. And so if you're serving as an usher, if you're, you know, involved in a small study, a home Bible study, whatever it might be, if it's going to be a gathering together of believers, a function that is the church, the body of Christ gathering, there needs to be the role of prophecy at work in the midst of it. There also needs to be the role of ministry. Again, this is very practical. Serving with compassionate love to meet needs. And so ministry could be fulfilled in a variety of ways, depending on whatever needs are there. So changing diapers could be ministry. It's very practical, serving to meet the needs that are there. It might be, you know, cleaning up, moving things around. It might be, you know, helping someone to their car or from their car. It's just whatever needs to be done physically, practically, as the church gathers together. And so having compassion and love to meet one another's needs, to help each other, again, not necessarily limited to the context of, you know, service time, before service, after service, but any time believers are gathering together. And so it might be a dinner, you know, and so it's a time of ministry. It's a gathering together of three or four believers, and there is the practical cooking, there is the practical serving of dishes, and facilitating the rest of the ministry opportunities that are going to be there. Well, there also needs to be, as believers gather together, the role of teaching, where there is some instruction, there's some doctrine, there's truth, there's practice, that the conversations are not just, you know, random, whatever, but at whatever scale. Again, if we're talking about a service with thousands of people, or if we're talking about two or three people gathered together, there needs to be the center of God's truth that is focused on, that is navigated towards as conversations happen, as teachings are brought forth, as, you know, people are talking and discussions ensue, that there would be the holding to the doctrine, to the truth of what God has revealed in His Word. There also needs to be the role of exhortation. Now, again, you can look at all these things and you can just, you know, limit them to this all happens on the stage at a church service. But again, I would suggest, like, what happens on the stage is a small piece of what God intends for the team to be playing, right? We should not think of it in the sense of baseball as there's the 9 people on the field and then there's the 50,000 people in the stadium watching, right? That's not what God intends. Like, if it's a 50,000 people gathering, then God intends for 50,000 people to be on the team, right? That there's as many positions as there are people at the gathering. That there is opportunity to be involved. And so, in the stands, in the stadium, there is opportunity for prophecy, ministry, teaching, or perhaps exhortation. The idea of coming alongside someone to strengthen, to comfort, to encourage them to go forward and to trust God. And so that can be fulfilled on the stage. The worship ministry oftentimes is an exhortation ministry. Let's worship the Lord. There's the encouragement to go forward, to trust God, to sing to God, to cry out to the Lord. But also, I would suggest even more important, you know, that happens even when just there's 2 or 3 people gathered together. And there's the exhortation in regards to the things that God is doing and saying to press forward and to walk in faith with the Lord. The role of giving is one that is essential and one that scales, again, no matter what size, no matter what gathering it is that we're talking about. If it's a gathering of the body of Christ, then there needs to be the role of giving, where there's the opportunity and the generosity to meet physical, practical, and financial needs. That there needs to be some generosity that's being expressed, some love that is being expressed in that way, as a small gathering, as a big church service, whatever the case might be, that in a similar way it scales and there's, you know, as much giving opportunity when there's 2 or 3 as there is when there's hundreds or thousands. Or maybe it's inverted, actually. Maybe there's more opportunities to give when it's just a few. Again, depending on the situation and the work that God wants to do. But it's one of those essential roles that God has given to the body of Christ. There's the role of leading. And again, any size gathering of believers needs a little bit of leadership, a little bit of administration, a little bit of direction. And the involvement changes, right? Just as you think about coaches, right? Hey, there's not a lot of leadership needed when kids are playing baseball out in the street, you know, playing 3 flies up or, you know, playing catch or just, you know, playing a unstructured game of baseball. But there always is some type of leadership, some type of organization as, you know, people are playing different parts. If the kids are fighting and, you know, everybody's trying to be the pitcher, well, then you're not playing baseball, right? So there's some organization, there's some administration. Okay, I'm going to pitch now and then you're going to hit and then we're going to swap and, you know, there's some kind of thing. But then you go up the scale and now you begin to have official coaches and positions and there's leading and administration that increases as you go up, you know, to professional baseball. In a similar way with a gathering together of believers, yeah, there might not be need to be like, I'm the pastor of this gathering of 2 or 3 people, and so you must listen to me, right? But at the same time, there's going to be those who will say, hey, you know, we should take a moment and pray, right? And so you're bringing some structure, you're bringing some administration. We should, and applying some organization or leadership to the event, to the gathering. But then again, as you kind of scale up, as it's a bigger gathering and different people and more people are involved, then there is a greater need for administration. And so there's those more kind of official roles of leading within the body of Christ in that way. Well, and then finally, mercy is a role in the body that scales from a gathering of 2 or 3 believers to a gathering of thousands of believers. Anytime you get people together, there is the need for mercy. There is the need for the love of God and the compassion of God to be expressed. There's always struggles in our lives. There's always difficulties. And so if it's just a couple of us meeting for lunch, there's the need for mercy. If we come to church on a Wednesday night, there's the need for mercy. We gather together on a Sunday morning or for a women's Bible study or a men's event, there is the need for mercy, for people to be brought the comfort from the Lord, the encouragement to not give up, to not quit, that God is with them and is able to work with them through whatever it is that they are going through. And so these positions, these roles within the body of Christ, scale to whatever size is happening as the body of Christ is gathering together. And if these positions are not happening, it's not a church gathering. It's not the body of Christ at work. It's something else. And so with that, I would encourage you to then be praying about, okay, so as we're gathering, who's fulfilling these roles? And for us as members of the body to be thinking about that, right? So don't put this all on me. All right, Jerry, you need to schedule the prophet, you know, who's going to fulfill the role of prophecy for this gathering, and then who's going to fulfill the role of mercy, right? Like, that's not really my role to dictate everybody else's role, right? There's so much happening that's way beyond anything that I can understand or be aware of when the body of Christ is gathering. And so I want to share these things with you, and this was on my heart to share with the body, so that we could be seeking the Lord as we're perhaps driving to the gathering. Lord, what role do you want me to fulfill? You know, sometimes we think about roles within the body of Christ and we're like making lifelong commitments, you know, and so we're not making any commitments because it's like, I'm not sure if I'm ready to commit to that role for the rest of my life, right? I would encourage you to think about it each time. Just let it be new and fresh each time. If the Lord wants to lead you to a commitment to something that is for the rest of your life, well, He will lead you to that. And that will be impressed upon you. But you don't have to like blindly just like, all right, I'm going to choose this and that's my role for the rest. Like, no, no. Hey, you're coming to church on a Wednesday night. Which of these roles do you plan to fulfill? Because again, in God's perspective, there's not people in the stands that are not doing anything. Like, spectator is not one of the roles that Paul lists here, right? Like, there's a role. There's some mercy that God wants you to show to somebody. Or there's some exhortation that God wants you to give to somebody. Or there's some generosity that God wants you to show to somebody. That as we gather together, you should be looking through this list, thinking through, praying through, Lord, what role do you want me to fulfill? I want to be part of the body tonight at this gathering and be part of the work that God is doing. Well, as you continue to think about that, I think there's another aspect of this that's important for us to consider as well, and that is that team positions defend against opponents. These positions are not just random, arbitrary things. But these positions God established in the body of Christ for strategic reasons, because these are things that the body of Christ needs. And so when we gather together, whatever scale it is, two or three people gathering together, thousands of people gathering together, these roles, these positions on God's team are really important when it comes to the attacks of the enemy, when it comes to the battle that we face. Now, again, if you think about baseball, like, why is someone on first base? Well, because it's a strategic place to be positioned if you're seeking to win against your opponent, right? Why is there someone in center field or left field? That's the thing that I remember about baseball, right? Like, left field, center field, right field, those are the things that hardly nothing happens, at least in the little kid stage of it, right? Like, there's not a lot of activity, and so you can just feel like, I'm just out here for no reason. I'm just, you know, no purpose out here. But there is a purpose, because when the ball gets hit there, if there's not somebody there, the opponent has a really significant advantage, right? In a similar way, as you think about the roles within the body of Christ, you need to understand these are not just random, arbitrary things and concepts. These are strategic positions that are essential and crucial. And if we don't fulfill these roles within the body of Christ, our opponent has a significant advantage against us. The kind of traditional enemies to consider for us as believers is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I'm not going to go into and pursue like all of the different concepts that could be attached to this and all the ideas that it could be unfolded. But I want to encourage you to think through that. The main point here is that these positions defend against the opposition. Listen, the enemy wants to destroy people. And when believers gather together, he doesn't like it. He hates it. And if we don't fulfill these roles, we are opening up ourselves to some opportunity to lose some ground, to lose some runs, to have some victories on the enemy's side, on our opponent's side. Think about that, the role of prophecy, right? Started in the garden. The enemy said, did God really say the right word at the right time for the right person? Listen, there's people who gather in the midst of our gatherings, and the enemy is bringing this attack, and there's this struggle with, did God say this? And there is the need then for people to hear the right word at the right time, that there would be this opportunity for them to hear from the Lord, to have a word from the Lord, to counteract that attack that is happening against what God is saying. Now that could be fulfilled in the role of prophecy, or you could also think about it in the role of teaching. Right? Maybe it's not so much a thing that is happening internally, but it's a more of a doctrinal issue, right? And there's, what is Satan? He's the father of lies. There's the lies that are being told, and people are gathering together, and there's lies that are being believed, there's deceit that's happening, there's issues that are going on, and there needs to be a defense against that. We need to defend and work against the opponent. And so if we're not fulfilling this role, teaching, prophecy, ministry, exhortation, giving, leading, mercy, again, I don't have time to go through all of these and to kind of explore all of the ways that this is fulfilled. But I would encourage you to think through that. That all of these, each of these, there's real attacks of the enemy that correspond with all of these roles. And when these roles are not fulfilled, we are really giving the enemy a significant advantage. And again, this isn't all on me. Jerry, you got to figure out how we're going to fulfill all these roles. It is on me in the sense that I need to be praying. I need to be seeking the Lord for these things. I need to be fulfilling these roles as God gives me opportunity. I need to be equipping you, the body of Christ, to be fulfilling these roles. But there's also your piece of this where you need to be coming together to a gathering of believers, understanding this is not just me going to church because I really enjoy, well, I didn't know Jerry was leading worship, but normally I really enjoy worship and then it's really great. But, you know, that I'm coming because it's not just that I need the time with the Lord, but also as the gathering of believers is happening, there's battles that are going on. There's an opponent that's on the field at the same time. There's attacks that are happening. And I need to be part of the defense. I need to be part of the offense. I need to be part of the work of God in putting down the attacks of the enemy and bringing forth the work of God and the truth of God in the midst of that gathering of believers. And so the final thing that I want to consider with you tonight, as we talk about Christian gatherings being team events, can you come out to play? It's like knocking on your door. Can Richard come out to play? I think this is an important picture for us. Again, this idea of neighborhood kids playing ball together. I think that's a better picture of the gathering together of believers than we might realize sometimes. And so, when I'm knocking on the door saying, hey, can Richard come out to play? And Richard runs out to play, it's not to go watch other kids play, right? It's like, yeah, I'm going to go participate. I'm going to go be a part of the team. And even if it's just two or three of us throwing the ball around, playing three flies up or pickle, or maybe there's enough of us to have a bit of a game. You know, we only fulfill three or four positions on the field, but we can hit, we can run, someone can pitch to us, and we can pretend like we're in the major leagues and have a great time, right? But But we're all engaged. We're all participating. Can you come out to play on the team? Can you come out and contribute to the gathering of believers together? Having then, verse 6, different gifts according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. The point is, use the gifts. Put them into action. Fulfill the role. Do the work. Do something. Come together and be part, participate in the body of Christ. It's an essential part. Again, just as kids on a baseball team. Like, you have a role to play. You're the shortstop. You're the pitcher. You're the catcher. If there's enough, we fill all the positions. If there's not enough, then, well, one person is fulfilling multiple roles. And that's the same in the gathering of believers. If there's just two or three of us, well, all of these roles are shared between the two or three of us. It's not one person doing all the roles, but we also don't want roles left out, right? Those functions are necessary functions for the body of Christ. And so there's single people doing multiple roles and married people doing multiple roles. But it's an individual who has more than one role, more than one function in that gathering. And that's true for us, again, whether it's two or three people gathering together or us gathering together for a service. And so I want to kind of finish this thought, inviting you to come out to play with three specific things that are on my heart for us, specifically here at Living Water and specifically at this time. That there's some things that I really believe the Lord has put on my heart for us to consider right now at this time at Living Water. Different times, maybe different things would be necessary to share. But at this time, there's three things here that I believe God wants us to consider. Number one, pay attention to these roles more than stage roles. You guys understand. We are operating on a, you know, bare bones infrastructure right now. And you can see, as I lead worship and then come over to teach. And I'm thankful that Rick was here to lead prayer. Otherwise, I would be leading prayer in between, right? I'm thankful that Noah was here. Otherwise, I'd be running sound. And we have things set up so that I can run sound and I can change the cameras and I can lead worship and I can teach. We have it set up so that we can operate just if it's only me, I can operate most of service myself. And that is often what is on our mind, right? Even Jonathan was mentioning this on Sunday. He's like, pray for Jerry, right? And I appreciate that. And I need your prayers. I'm not going to dispute that at all. At the same time, I think we need to shift our focus a little bit and stop being so preoccupied with, oh man, Jerry's doing so much. Like, never feel sorry for me for the roles that I fulfill here at the church. Like, the Lord has plans to reward me for it. So it's worth it, right? And I'm paid to be here. Like, this is my job. This is my role to fulfill all the roles that need to be fulfilled as we gather together. Like, that is the job. That is what I'm called to do. The famous statistic that Jonathan almost quoted on Sunday, 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. You know, that's true, and that's always been true, and that's not really going to change, because really that statistic is focused on the obvious and visible efforts of the body of Christ. But I would suggest to you that the roles that are listed there in Romans chapter 12 are primarily not about what happens on stage, but are primarily about what happens in between the members as we gather together. It's more individual. And so be thinking, like, don't be distressed. What a tragedy it is that, you know, the same person is leading worship and then teaching. Sure, if we scale up and reach the major leagues, there'll be plenty of space for different people to fulfill all the different positions, right? Like, that makes sense. But I shared a while back, and I think we need to revisit this a little bit, that we kind of need to understand our church and have a kind of a perspective about Living Water, that we're kind of like a church plant, right? If we send Richard out to plant a church, we're not going to expect there to be a whole administration that goes with him, right? We're going to expect Richard's going to lead worship, and Richard's going to be teaching, and he's going to be printing the flyers, and he's going to, you know, there's going to be these multitude of roles that are fulfilled by the one, like, that's part of that process. That's part of that stage in ministry. And it's a little bit difficult for us because we weren't always at this stage. And so for those of us who've been around a while, it's really hard for us to kind of capture that church plant mentality. And so we think it's a shame. Oh, what a shame that, you know, there's all of these different things being fulfilled by one person, or there's so few people to do these things. But that's just the natural process of growth. And for us, it's the natural process of life, that there are full times and less times. And so I would encourage you, don't even be concerned about what's happening on the stage and you know, how difficult that is, and we need to, like, step in. Like, that's all secondary. The greater focus, I would suggest, is on these roles individually between members of the body of Christ. And so that's my next thing to encourage you. Each gathering, each time you get together, whether it's two or three people, whether it's, you know, an official service, whether it's a lunch, a home Bible study, or a home gathering, or just a time of prayer, seek to fulfill a role. You don't have to get hung up on making a life decision. I'm always going to have this role, right? But Paul tells us to desire earnestly to prophesy. Like, every time we gather together with other believers, there should be an earnest desire. Lord, please speak through me. Give me things to share on your behalf. Like, that's the idea that Paul is conveying there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We should always be inviting the Holy Spirit to give us that role within a gathering. And so each gathering, each time we gather together, seek to fulfill a role. You have some role to fulfill each time there's a gathering together of the body of Christ. And if you don't have a role to fulfill, or those roles aren't being fulfilled, again, it's not a church gathering. It's not the body of Christ gathering. It's something else. And that, not that those kinds of gatherings are wrong, but we need to understand, when we gather together as the body of Christ, there's these roles, these functions that God wants to work out in our midst. They're important because the enemy is fighting against us and seeking to destroy our lives and destroy other people's lives. And so these are essential things for us as the body of Christ to engage in, to participate in the giving and the receiving of all of these roles. And then the last thing on the list there I would suggest is, let's not try to fill a major league roster. Again, this can be challenging for us because we've experienced different times of ministry. And in the past, we've had great variety. You know, we've had a consistent worship leader who, you know, was always here to lead worship. And that was a blessing. And there was times in our past where we had, like, more worship leaders than we knew what to do with, where other pastors would look at me and say, man, I'm so jealous of you, because it's like we're just, you know, playing a DVD for worship. And here you have, like, 50 worship leaders. And, you know, like, oh, I'm so jealous, you know, of your ministry. And so we were there. We're not in that situation anymore. I would suggest this is not, like, you know, some devastation. This is just a natural progression of the life cycle that God is walking us through. And so we need to be careful not to try to kind of match what we used to be able to do, which you might refer to as major league, right? We need to be careful not to try to, like, fill that roster. Well, we need to have, you know, this many ushers, and we need to have a parking lot attendant, and this many children's ministry teachers, and we need to have this many events during the week, and we need to have, like, we don't have to try to fill and match what we used to do or what other churches are doing. Like, all of these roles can be fulfilled in the gathering if it's just two or three people. And so if two or three of us show up on Wednesday night to gather service, that's not a tragedy. It's a gathering together of believers. And all of these roles will be fulfilled as we give God opportunity. He's going to minister. He's going to fight back the enemy. And we're going to be blessed as we participate. We're going to be blessed as we receive. And so as a church, these three things is what I would encourage us to really consider. Pay attention to the roles of 1 Corinthians, or of Romans chapter 12, more than the stage roles, more than the official capacities or signing up for some service in some way. come to each gathering seeking to fulfill a role. Not trying to fill a roster of, like, we've got to put all these positions in place. No, just let's just come. Let's let it be kids gathering together in the playground, having a good time. Let's gather together with the willingness, with the desire to be used by God to fulfill the role that He's given to us for that gathering. Like, later on, God may develop and establish more permanent, you know, more long-lasting roles. But don't even worry about that. You know, next time you gather together to play baseball in the park, like, maybe I'm going to be the pitcher this time. Maybe I'm going to be the catcher next time, you know. Like, it's okay. Just whatever role's available and whatever role God wants me to use or to fulfill, like, that's what I want to do. And as we gather together as believers, I would suggest that's where we are as a church. That we just need to come just expecting to be used by God, looking for opportunity to fulfill one of these roles and functions, ministering to one another, receiving from one another as God enables us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your word, the opportunity to consider Your desire for us to be part of Your work. I pray, God, that You would continue to allow these things to work in our hearts and minds. Lord, that we might gather together in a way that is truly a outpouring of Your Holy Spirit, a working forth of Your body, ministering to one another in the way that You intend. And so, Lord, enable us, equip us, give us clarity, and stir up in our hearts, Lord, the desire to serve You each time we gather together. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.